235 at the bottom, it's Samach Gimel on top. Okay? We are going to start the fourth line from the top of the page. Okay? The last thing the Alter Rebbe was explaining in this perek is that the two levels of love, I mean, remember, Avas Elam is the one that comes from the meditation, understanding the greatness of the world, and through that we understand the greatness of Hashem, or Avad Abba, which is a gift from above. He says, there's a level of the hidden, okay, but he says like this, the Avas Elam, okay, meaning like this, Ava Elam, no, okay, some of this is inheritance by every single Jew, okay? Because it says that my soul desires you at night, and one should love Hashem, blessed be He, and the love of the soul and the spirit, as they are attached to the body, and the body loves them. Like it says in the Zayin. Okay, so he says now like this. V'zeu, and this is what the Pasuk means, fourth line from the top. Nafshi ivisicha, my soul, I desire you, kleimar. What does that mean? Mevnei sha'ata Hashem. Because you, God, are nafshi v'chayamitim, you are my real soul. You are my real existence. Lekach ivisicha, therefore I desire you. In other words, nafshi ivisicha balayla literally means my soul, I desire you at night. Why do we desire the soul at night? Because the soul at night leaves the body when you go to sleep. So therefore, the Pasuk simply says, I desire my soul at night. But what does that mean? The Alter Rebbe says, what it means is like this. He defines it a little bit different. He says, Nafshi, God, because you are my existence, because you are my soul, Ivisicha, that's why I desire you. Because you are my existence, listen, if what keeps me alive is something I want, I desire it, because without it, I don't exist. Right? That's to be the existence. So he says, because you are Hashem, are my soul, v'chayamitim milakach ivisich, therefore I want you, meaning, shani misoeb mitayvel v'toivloch, I desire you and I lust for you, ka'odam ha'misava l'chayinafshe, like a person who wants his existence. Nobody wants to die. Okay? Therefore you want to live. If you want to live, then you want what's keeping you alive. So therefore, what's the Alter Rebbe saying? A person just wants their soul. They want to exist. They need their soul. That's the same way a person wants Hashem. Because Hashem is my soul. My existence is Hashem. Therefore, ukshu cholosh umu'una, when a person is weak and missing something or afflicted, he wants the soul should come back. He wants the soul should return. A person, if they're weak, right? You want to get healthy. If you feel very, very, very sick, you really want to live. Therefore, when a person goes to sleep, he's saying all this as an analogy of how a Jew is supposed to be loving Hashem. When a person goes to sleep, he desires and he wants that when we wake up, we want the soul to come back, right? What do we say in Amapil? You should wake me up that I shouldn't die in my sleep. I mean, by the way, if you ask anybody, do you want to die in your sleep? Most people tell you no. Some people tell you yes.
Not that night.
Not that night, at least. It depends what they have scheduled for the next day. Huh? No, the person wants to go to sleep at night. They want the soul to come back. Right? Why? Why do you want the soul to come back? Because that's what keeps you alive. Yes? Therefore, what do we daven before bed? God, get me up in the morning. What do we say the first thing we wake up in the morning? My Daniel Fanacha, thank you that you made me alive again. So Kachani Mesai, the same thing David HaMelech says, Nafshi V'sich Balayla, just like when I go to sleep at night, I want my soul to come back. The same thing, I want God, I want Hashem, because He is my soul, He is my existence. And therefore, V'toyev L'Erin Tzal Baruch Hu, He desires for this revelation of Hashem, Chaya Chaimu Amitim, the real source of essence of life, lam shichay bekirbi, to draw it into myself, I de eisek ha-teira by learning teira, v'kitzi mishnasi, when I wake up from my sleep a lila at night, because teira and Hashem are all one. What's the Alter Rebbe saying of you? There is an inherited level of love of God that every single Jew possesses just because we have a neshama. Because we have a neshama, we are descendants of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, or everybody is a descendant of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and they have a neshama, and therefore, what is the natural instinctive level that the neshama has? By nature, not what they can choose, not they can give up. This is what they have. Because they're a vessel, which is a part of Hashem, they have this love of Hashem. Just like a person, by nature, a person doesn't have to meditate. Why I love my soul? Because I'm going to be alive. Nobody meditates that. It's natural, right? It's natural for a Jew to love Hashem just because they're a Jew and this is their existence. How do they reveal that in the morning? Well, they learn Torah, because Torah and God is one. So that's the way we get God in us, in an open fashion. And there's even a greater level of love that a Jew has. This is hidden in the soul of every single Jew. We're a little bit past midway on 235 in your Tanya at the bottom. V'imusuteres gam kim b'chol leid nefesh mi'yisrael. It's also a hidden love within every single Jew. V'yerusha mi'aviseinu. It's inheritance. The first love is a person can understand it intellectually, that just like I need to live, I want to live, so then I must want God because He's my existence. A deeper level of ava is the love which is hidden, it's called Ava Mesoteris, the natural hidden love that, again, every Jew possesses just because they're a Jew. And he gives the analogy. K'mashikosu b'rayi mehemna, like a part of the Zohar says, k'bra d'ishtadl basa avoy v'imei, like a child who does things for the father and mother, the rochemla, that he loves them, more than he loves himself. I don't know what happened. Today's generation doesn't work like that. But the kids that love the parents more than they love themselves. Now, logically it doesn't make sense. But it's instinctive. I think today we would understand it maybe the other way. Parents love the kids regardless. It's unconditional love. You ask a parent, why in the world do you love your kid? They'll give a million reasons why they shouldn't. Right? At least a million reasons. Bottom line is, but they love them. Unconditionally. Here the Zohar says, the child loves the parent more than they love themselves, meaning also unconditionally. Why is that? This is, again, Yerusha inheritance from our forefathers. Whether we understand it or not. The Rebbe emphasized many times in Sichas and Maimorim, this concept of inheritance is a very interesting concept. Okay, I can acquire something, buying it, getting it as a gift, right? And there's something called inheritance. You inherit from a parent. What's inheritance? In order to buy and sell, you need to have a little bit of seichel. A kid can't buy and sell. Halachically, a kid can't buy and sell. Inheritance, a baby, as the Gemara says the expression, hatinik, as soon as the kid comes out into the world, I mean, the second they're born, okay, they inherit everything of the father. Everything. The kid doesn't know it's his father. He doesn't know what a father means. He's newborn, 5 minutes old. He doesn't know what a father is. He doesn't know what inherit. He doesn't know anything. Yeah? Halachically, that child can inherit the entire multi-billion dollar fortune of the father. Why? Because the child is the parent. There's a pasuk in Tillim that the Gemara uses for the concept of inheritance. Tachas aveisecha yilvanecha. in the place of the father is the child. And it goes even more than that. The Rishonim explain, partners is 50-50. Okay? Inheritance is not, let's say there's two kids, or four kids. It's not that each one gets 25%, according to Halacha. According to Halacha, inheritance means you get 100%. You get 100% of the father. Practically speaking, you can't have four people getting 100%, so each one gets only 25%. But conceptually, each child inherits it all. Which means, by the way, when you come along, and that's what we find by Torah, interesting things. We say, Torah tziv alanu Meisha, Meirosha kihilas Yaakov. Torah that Meisha Beinu commanded us is inheritance. Meirosha kihilas Yaakov. It's inheritance from the congregation of Yaakov. So you find Torah is called Yerusha inheritance. We have something called Matan Torah, Noisein HaTorah, which means gift. Matan is a gift. Torah is called a gift. Then you have another pasuk that says, Ki lekach tov nasati lachem, I gave you a good deal. Lekicha means buying. Torasi al tazevu, do not forsake my Torah. So it's interesting, when Hashem and us with Torah, one pasuk says we have an inheritance. One pasuk says we got it as a gift. Matan Torah is a matana, a gift. Yismach meisha b'matnas chelkei. And then it's a buying. So which one is it? Did we buy it? Did we get it as a gift? Or did we inherit it? Right? So Torah, not only chassidus, it's explained. There's a uniqueness in each one that the other one doesn't have. For instance, why is Torah called bought? You know the expression in English, easy come, easy go? Mm-hmm. Okay. If you get it for free, it doesn't mean anything to you. You paid for it. Any way you look at it, you appreciate it more. Right? In fact, they say when the Friedrich Rebbe came to America and he started printing siches and different things, so even though he had sponsors for it, he said they should charge a nickel, whatever it was. The nickel those days was money. He said you should charge a nickel. Why? Because when somebody buys something, you can appreciate it more. Whether an easy come, easy go. Okay. So the mila of Torah being bought, meaning we appreciate it more. What's the uniqueness of Torah that it's a matana gift? The Gemara in Bava Basra discusses a very interesting thing. There's a big argument in the Gemara between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, in the Mishnah, between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, if a person sells with a good eye or a mean eye. Ayin Yofa or Ayin Ro. What does it mean? If I have a field, okay, and there's a house in the middle of the field, okay, I own the land with the field. And the field with the house. And I sell you the house. Okay? Does that automatically include a path to get to the house or not? I'm not talking about civil law now. Because one opinion says it does. Why? Because when you sell with a good eye. So how's the guy going to get there? Helicopter? Didn't have in those days. So obviously, even though the deal was you're buying the house, obviously, if you stipulate you're buying the road, there's no question. But you didn't buy the road. You bought the house. So one opinion says, no, you sell with a good eye. So therefore, when you sold it, automatically it must include a road. The other opinion says, no. The person sells, they sell with a bad eye. When I sold you, I sold you. When I didn't sell you, I didn't sell you. Okay? So therefore, I didn't sell you the road. You want the road, you have to pay separate. Okay? But everybody agrees, even though by buying there's an argument, by selling there's an argument, but everybody in the Gemara says agrees, kol ha-naysen, ba'ayin yof-naysen. When you give a gift, you give with a good eye. Okay? So what's the difference between Torah as a bought thing, or Torah as a gift, when you buy it, number one, the advantage of buying is that you appreciate it, and the advantage of a gift is that you get more. God gives it with a good eye. And inheritance uniqueness is, no matter who you are, you can know absolutely nothing about Yiddishkeit. You can be a newborn baby spiritually. You know zilch, and you got the whole Torah. Not only do you have your share of Torah, you inherit the entire Torah belongs to you. So that's why the Alter Rebbe says this level of love, the Avraham Sutter is in love, is Yerushim Yaviseinu. Here the Alter Rebbe is speaking the advantage of the natural instinctive love that everybody has to Hashem, that we got. Meaning, you could scream, I don't have it. You could be a baby that doesn't know what you're about. I don't have it. Right? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you scream. You have it. Because it's inheritance. You got it. You don't even have to understand what a father is. You don't even understand what the property is. You don't have to understand anything. Bottom line is, you're their kid. You were born. You got it all. You're Jewish. You have the whole Torah. You're Jewish. This natural instinctive love from Hashem that could awaken itself, especially in times of need, oppression, or whatever it is, then you wake up and it comes out. And that's why in the whole earlier chapters of Tanya, the Alter Rebbe is explaining why is Torah Kikar Ve'Elach HaDavar made? Why is Torah so close and easy for a person to do in thought, speech, and action? So the first number of chapters of Tanya, when the Alter Rebbe speaks about the Neshama as a part of God, and then the Alter Rebbe says that this Neshama every single Jew has. So to do Torah Mitzvahs, you don't need to create a love of Hashem. You have it. All you need to do is to reveal it. But there's a big difference between having to create it or it's there already. All you need to do is get a bulldozer and take off the mud. Or a shovel, or depending how much mud there is. But this level of love is inheritance. And he says, we have one father. And he says, V'av ki mihu zeh ve'ezehu. Yet, although one could ask, who is this chutzpidika person? Asher orav libe, that he presumes in his heart, l'geshes lahasig afilu chelek echod mini elef mi madregas avar ayim emna. Who would think, who would have the chutzpah to think that they even have a thousandth part of what Raya Mehemna means a Rebbe has? Yeah. But a little bit they do have. And v'shem its menu, and a particle of his greatness, merav tuvei v'oire mer l'chol yisro b'chol dar v'dar. Okay? In other words, the tzaddikim, by them, it's revealed. If you remember, we learned, probably in this class also, you know, when people would go into the Rebbe for a private audience, it was called yechidus. In Hebrew, yechidus actually means private. That yechidus is private. So when you went into the Rebbe for a private audience, it was called yechidus because it was a private audience with the Rebbe. Nobody else was there except you. But Chassidim explain, there's a much deeper reason why it's called yechidus. This Avraham Sutteris, this hidden love that every Jew has, is the yechida, the pintaliyit, the yechida should have the essence of the neshama. Okay? By a Rebbe, his yechida shebenefesh, the Rebbe's essence, is always revealed. He said, by Meshe Rabbeinu, the essence, his essence of the neshama is always revealed. When a chassid goes into the Rebbe properly, like the Alter Rebbe's chassidim used to prepare 10 years, another 15 years, another this, and they didn't go, hi, I'm here, hi, you know, goodbye. They actually prepared for years and years and years and worked on themselves to go into Yechidus. So what happens? The Rebbe, whose Yechida is revealed, reveals your Yechida. So it's two Yechidas. So therefore it's called Yechidas, because now it's two Yechidas, the Rebbe's Yechida, which is always revealed. And when you go in properly, he reveals your Yechida. So it's called Yechidas, because he reveals your essence. So he says, even though somebody could say, who am I to think of, like Moshe Rabbeinu, this, you know, he says, you still got a little bit of it from him anyway. Moshe Rabbeinu gives this level of Da'as Emunah. Moshe Rabbeinu reveals this essence of the Jew within every Jew. Which is, by the way, a remarkable thing. I mean, you know, you talk about it now, you know, but still, if you think about it, you know, the Rebbe used to not see people for who knows how many years. And they came and the Rebbe recognized them right away. There were thousands of stories like that, right? And they were shocked. Okay, or the Rebbe had a letter from them and the Rebbe told them, I got a letter from you, and the guy never remembered, and the Rebbe reminded them that was years ago. Okay. What changes in us, nothing personal, when we age, our body changes. Yeah. They say, you know, when, especially women, when women meet each other after many years, they say, oh, you haven't changed a bit. Right. You know what I mean? It's supposed to be a compliment. No, besides the liar aspect. In Yiddishkeit, that's an insult. What do you mean you didn't change? You were supposed to change for the better. I haven't changed a bit is not a compliment. It's an insult. I know. I got it. Okay? But in Yiddishkeit, you haven't changed is not a compliment. It's, okay. So the answer is, you know, the people change completely. How did the Rebbe recognize them? It's not that the Rebbe has a good head. And the Rebbe saw neshamas. The neshama doesn't change. This neshama that he came to him 35 years ago, 25 years ago, whatever it is, the Rebbe sees neshamas. He sees the neshama. I don't really have a chassidish here in the morning before that, between the two minyan. So I was telling him two stories today. I don't know how we got into it. The Rebbe Marash once realized that he wasn't hearing from one ear. Middle of the day, he realized he wasn't hearing from one ear. He's trying to figure out what happened. Then he realized what happened. He was saying chassidus, he was saying a maimer, and there were people talking off at the side, and the talking disturbed him, so he shut off his ear. He didn't put in earplugs like you go to weddings with earplugs. The Rebbe controlled his body. He actually shut off that ear, that it shouldn't disturb him. And then he realized that he didn't turn it back on. So the Rebbe Marash wanted to turn it back on. Or the Friedrich Rebbe, in the middle of his sleep, if it's Talis Cotton, if the tzitzit became crumbled up, according to the Rebbe, it has to be flat, you know, opened up, whatever. It should be not crumbled up. So he would straighten it in the middle of his sleep. There was a chassid, a bill of potter. If somebody, while he was sleeping, if somebody older than him walked into the room, in his sleep he stood up. That means that these people, the guy came to me at Minchi, he said, I can't get over that story. These people had total control. You know, we can't fathom, we can't get it, we don't dig it, because we're very low. I mean, you could be lower, but we're low. But how a tzaddik controls every part of his being, you know, it's unbelievable. Even Lamaches, while we're off topic already, when the Rebbe had his heart attack, and the Rabbanim wanted the Rebbe to go to the hospital, the doctors wanted the Rebbe to go to the hospital, everybody wanted the Rebbe to go to the hospital except the Rebbe. Okay? The Rebbe said, I'm not going. They tried telling the Rebbetzin to convince the Rebbe to go to the hospital. And the Rebbetzin said, the Rebbetzin Chaim Moshke said, since I know him, he was never not in control of himself completely. And therefore, if he doesn't want to go, he's not going. No. The Rebbe Rashab, once was doing a custom or something, and they asked him, what's the source of it? Okay. So Rebbe Rashab said to them, right now I don't remember the source. Later he found the source. He says, right now I don't remember the source. But one thing I know. From the time I was bar mitzvah, my body was trained to only do what's right. So if I'm doing this, that's because it's the right thing to do. The Rebbe Rashab. Huh? No, not, there's not Merch Shalat Alev. Merch Shalat Alev means you could also do, we want to do something, we understand it's wrong, you don't do it. This is the total control of the body. Total control that your body is, so he says, even though who can have the chutzpah to say that we have that level of ava, so he says, but nevertheless, you get it from the tzaddik. You get it to a certain extent. Yeah, you're not on the level of a tzaddik, but to a certain level you do get it. Right? So therefore, the Alter Rebbe says, you got it. He says, Rak Shahar is the beginning of Hester Valim God of Benefajko Beis Yisrael. But this level that you get of Hashem through the tzaddikim that give it to us, Ulahaytzi Ave Zume Amusteris Mehelim Vehester Agilui. And therefore, to reveal it, now the Alter Rebbe is going back to the origin of Tanya in the Sharblat. And just to reveal this love that you have, Leineflace Velaydachaiki, it's not wondrous, it's not distant. Karev Adava made is very close, Beficho Bavavcha, in your mouth and in your heart, meaning that you should always act in thought, speech, and action the way a person needs to act. So the Alter Rebbe is explaining with these great levels of Ava, that he says, Ava Selim, Ava Rabba, he says, every Jew has it as an inheritance. So therefore, like we said many times, because of that, when somebody came to the Rebbe and said, I don't believe in God, what the Rebbe said to him, the fact that you say you don't believe in God doesn't take away from the reality that you do. Why? You have a neshama. You believe in God. You might think you don't, but that's fake news. Real news. You believe in God. You have a neshama. You believe. Okay.